Amigos y Napolitani to another edition of the Far From Vesuvius podcast. My name is Rafa Rispo, and I am presenting to you the Raf and Raf rant. This week was a very special rant. We had a guest, and his name is Carmine from Napoli Club Toronto and the Figli del Vesuvio podcast. He was a really good guest to have on, lots of great insight. We met him back in August 2019 in Michigan for the first time, and he credits us for getting his stuff started up too, so that's really cool. You'll listen to more of that story in the next few minutes. We're happy to bring you this audio version of our live video show, and you can check that out from YouTube or on Facebook or on Twitter. YouTube, the Raf and Raf Rant. Facebook, whether it's the Raf and Raf Rant on Facebook, Calcio Napoli Club USA, or our Far From Vesuvius page, and Twitter at Far From Vesuvius. Check those out. You can always catch it live. Look for the announcements on our social media platforms. We usually announce a show the day of and the time that it starts as well. But we actually are really, really excited to also bring you some audio-only specials, and we have some stuff in the works coming up soon. But yeah, we hope you enjoy this show. Give us your feedback. Tell us what you think. Subscribe, like, comment, all that stuff on any kind of a platform that you desire. We're going to work on getting some more guests for the show. And it seems to be picking up pretty much a lot of steam. So, you know, thank you. Thank you to everybody who listens in. Thank you to everybody who watches. We really do appreciate it. Napoli actually have a big game coming up tomorrow. We're recording this intro on Tuesday. The show was recorded on Monday. Today is the 9th. And on the 10th, Napoli play against Atalanta in Bergamo on a 0-0 aggregate. Leg one was at the Maradona, and we held them to no goals, which is very good. So, when you're listening to this show, keep in mind that the second leg hasn't happened yet. So, we talk about that. We talk about the state of Napoli. I give my state of Napoli address, which was supposed to be a speech at the end of the show. It turns out that I just went on a rant throughout the whole show. So I made that my state of Napoli address. And you know, that's what the show's called, the rant. That's what it's there for. But yeah, we talk about Gattuso. We talk about how I'm so sick and tired of hearing about Sarri. We talk about ADL and his tenure and how he's done and how he's doing. And we take a lot of comments from, you know, and questions and comments from you, the listener, the viewer, which we absolutely love doing. And, you know, it's about an hour, it's over an hour show, which we could have gone, you know, like 2 or 3 hours, honestly. But yeah, again, hope you enjoy it. Check back with us soon for more content. And as always, Forza Napoli sempre.
And good evening, fellas and bellas out there in the Napoli world. Welcome to another edition of the Raf and Raf Rant. I am Raf Bizarre with my co-host, Rafa Rispo. And joining us today, our guest host, Carmine from Napoli Club Toronto. How we doing? How we doing, Carmine? Welcome, welcome.
I'm doing amazing. Thanks for having me on, guys. It's really an honor to be on here.
Oh, you're welcome. I like
absolutely,
your shirt.
Man, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Welcome. Yeah, a little Napoli club, yeah, little club that. Gear.
Yeah, right now. Swag. You got Toronto on your back right now, bro. That's what's going on. Represent for Canada. Cool. You know, I'm super happy to have you here on today because not a lot of people know yet, but they're going to know now, officially, here on the rant. We're going to let them know that aside from what you're doing with Napoli Club Toronto, you know that we have the Calcio Napoli Club USA. And we had decided that we want to kind of bring the love to Canada, to our neighbors up north. So this is our official announcement that Calcio Napoli Club will be moving now into Canada. So it's Calcio Napoli Club Canada as well. And because of this, we started a Discord, right, Carmine? I saw you were working hard on it, man. Super happy about that. I had this guy slaving all night long to help me with the Discord because, you know, I need these young guys to kind of help me out with all the new hottest, latest trends, you know. But Carmine got in there for us, and him and his boys, all the admins out there for NCT are going to help us out, get us into Canada. So Couchinopoly Club Canada – now Couchinopoly Club USA as well in the Discord for everybody. So come in on the action, guys, at Couchinopoly Club in the Discord. Join us, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Right, Carmine?
Of course. Cool, right? And one more thing. Just want to say, anyone in Canada right now, doesn't matter where you are in Canada, Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal, wherever, in the chat, follow us at Nopoly Club Toronto. Be sure to get in the CNC Discord because it's going to be popping. I can guarantee you that.
Guaranteed, guys. And if you're in the chat, let's get it rolling. You know, shoot out some comments, shoot out some questions. If you're watching on the replay, hit us up in the comment. Hit that like button with La Grinta. Subscribe, share, get in on the action, guys. This is for you, Rafa.
What's
up?
How
we doing today, Rafa? What's going on?
We're doing good. We're doing good.
Welcome back.
I'm glad to have. Yeah, I missed you too, man. I missed you too. You're gonna see that shiny little head, you know.
I just shaved it.
Left of my screen, you know. It looks good.
It's a fresh cut, bro. Thank you.
It's a fresh cut, man. You know,
you probably do a better job. No, I know.
You want a nice hot towel with the steam and the straight razor
with the lemon
and the straight razors
and the hair. Yeah, man, that's me. You know, that's me. You know, maybe
get the treatment.
Maybe I'll treat you one day with the Gordon Pandev. You know, maybe
with the
get enough. You gotta get enough. You just gotta get enough. You know,
Gordon Pandev had that haircut since he was 18, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I
feel like it's true.
Like, he had that same hair for a long
time.
Well,
Rafi, you had to be pretty happy about, you know, no one's happy about the loss to Genoa, but you had to be pretty happy to watch North Macedonia on the field against Napoli. You know, between Elmas and
right, and our, he did give Elmas a big hug. Right,
ex-girlfriend. Right. Yeah, he did. Sure.
Listen, if anybody's going to bring us to school, I'd rather it be an ex-Napoli player, I guess, you know. So,
kind of hurts, though. It does sting a bit. It does hurt a lot.
It stings no matter what. It stings because he had a Napoli jersey. I know he can do that for us, but you got some fans out there. I'm putting
Oh, Raf, he's a part of the Napoli club. Thanks, Raf.
No problem, guys.
Well, listen, speaking of karma.
Go ahead, Raf, take it away. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Ciao, Christopher. How are you? I have a little present for Carmine, and this is from. Hold on. Let me redo this. Hold on. Here we go. This is coming to you from August 2019 in Michigan.
Wow.
This was the moment Carmine and Rafa first met.
Yeah, I remember that moment. I didn't know you got it on video. That's amazing.
I and you know, listen, not for nothing, but I believe I was just videoing, caught you at the right time. You know, I don't want you to like think, oh, there's Carmine. I had to start recording.
No, you didn't even know my existence then.
I did not. But. You know, there you go.
That's amazing.
You know, you call me.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's, you know what?
When I found out you were doing Fili del Vesuvio and, you know, the club, and I was like, I honestly thought that Marco Cubani was the club from Toronto. And I said to him, I said, dude, that's what's up. And he goes, nah, man, that's not me. I was like, what?
I'm going to give you guys credit where credit's due, because you guys hooked me up with those tickets that day to go down to Michigan. And honestly, if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't have met you. I wouldn't have met Marco. I wouldn't have met some of the guys from Mississauga, just outside of the city of Toronto, to start this club. So honestly, if it wasn't for that day, and if it wasn't for you guys setting me up, this never would have happened. I don't think.
That's what's up, man.
Be honest.
I'd love to hear that.
So
see that?
Can I just admit something that SSC Napoli might not want us to admit, and you know, hopefully they're not watching right now, which I'm sure they're not, but if they are, you never know. We actually got those tickets from them.
Really?
They gave us free tickets to the game. We had already had our press passes, so we didn't need them, so we were like, let's distribute. Let's give them out. Let's go.
I can't thank you enough. We actually have
you got the official ones.
No problem. You know? No problem.
Grazie, no bootleg ones here. You got the official ADL. That was from like ADL's printer. ADL printed those.
He had to borrow Jada. He called Jada. He had to borrow Jada.
He had to pause me.
No, but we ran the contest for the winner, right? Because Ken and I had bought our own tickets just in case we didn't get the press passes. But the club helped us get the press passes, so we didn't need the tickets, so we gave those away. And then when we got there, they contacted us and said, hey, we left your tickets at the desk. So we went to their hotel. That's where we met Zielinski, Elmas, and we kind of waved to Ospina and I believe the security guy. I don't know. And we met Chiro Sarpa, who is the photographer. We met him. Which was really, really cool. But you know, one of the things I distinctly remember was meeting you, and that's you know, we got to walk around before the game and stuff. And yeah, man. So I just wanted to share that with everybody.
Se gonfia la rete. The network swells. See?
Love it, man.
We're growing America and can
growing America. Growing North America. America.
North America.
North America.
Growing out there, guys. Look out for us, bro. We look out. This is a steam train, and nobody's going to stop us, guys. Nobody's going to stop us. But let's get into this rant, guys. What we got going first, guys? Rafa, do you want to take the lead here? Or?
Well, yeah. I think we need to touch on the fact that we have now lost Manolas for a couple of weeks. They're saying I was seeing 3 to 4. Now we're hearing 4 to 5. I don't know. We're gonna miss him.
Second degree sprain, Rafa, kind of like Mertens. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not in great shape when it comes to the defense. You know, we're really hoping that we can get Koulibaly back as soon as possible. But that brings me to, you know, the question that begs the question: are we dependent on Koulibaly? Are we reliant, you know, because even with Manolas in there, you know, obviously Maksimović is not the same. Rahmani hasn't gotten his fair shake and we really don't have any other options. You know, we could put Di Lorenzo in the middle. We could put Husai in the middle too, but these are not formidable, you know, solutions. So, you know, I guess I'll toss it up to Carmine. What do you think, man? Are we relying on Koulibaly? Because I have a lot of reasons to think that we are 100% relying on him.
My short answer to this is yes, we are reliant on Koulibaly, but not just on the field, but off the pitch as well. Right. But I'm going to stick with on the field right now. Now, if you were to ask me the same question last year, with the way Maksimović was playing, we didn't need Koulibaly every game. Maksimović was a rock. He was a brick wall. Nobody was dribbling past him. But then he got his contract, the contract extension, and I don't know what happened between last season and this season. It's not like they had much of a break, maybe a couple months. But he's been awful. He's been completely awful. And there's been times where even Manolas was having his iffy moments. He'd be giving – Manolas is not a very strong center back on the ball. And we tend to play out the back a lot. So with a center back who is iffy on the ball and teams are pressing high, Manolas would give away balls all the time. And Koulibaly was the one to back him up. With Koulibaly gone, I don't think Maksimović, especially this year, can compensate for the mistakes that Manolas makes. There was a good balance in that back line. That balance is now gone. Now, on top of this, Manolas is gone. And by the way, I see 4 to 5 weeks. I want these physiotherapists to stick with their word and 4 to 5 weeks and not rush this recovery. Because you rush your recovery, you're risking re-injury again.
Right.
You have to make sure. We saw what
happened to Mertens.
Exactly. We saw what happened to Mertens.
You don't want that to happen again.
Yeah. You don't. And you can't afford to have it happen again. So you need to stick to a proper protocol, get them to full health, full strength, and get them back on the pitch. Now, do I want Rahmani and Maksimović to prove me wrong? Of course. We have a tough month ahead of us. Will they do it? I don't know. I'm really iffy on it. That's I don't know.
Rafa, how do you feel out there?
Well, I mean, I agree 100%, like I just said. You know, there's something that Giuseppe D'Angelis actually said in the club Facebook chat. and it really struck me. And I kind of looked into it a little bit further. And what he said was, you know, Liverpool had lost Virgil van Dijk and they seemed to be doing fine. Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a look at Liverpool. Liverpool sit fourth place. Okay. I'll have to pull this back up because I got so caught up on what Carmine was saying.
That, so good.
Here it is right Carmine. Here. Okay. Yeah. Liverpool sit fourth place. Okay. With 40 points after 23 matches with 11 wins, 7 draws, and 5 losses. Okay. Fourth place. Right behind them, 1 point is Chelsea and West Ham. Then you have Everton with a game in hand, with 2 games in hand on 37 points. Okay. Tottenham with 36 with 1 game in hand, and Aston Villa with 2 games in hand as well on 35. So those teams win those games in hand. You're looking at a Liverpool who sits like 6th or 7th. Okay. Now also, Liverpool have played 23 games. They've won 11. They've dropped points in 12. We've only dropped points in 8. Okay. So, you know, Liverpool are not well off. A team that won the Champions League, a team that won the Club World Cup, a team that won the league title last season should be right there with Man City. And to be honest with you, they're on 23 matches and Man City is a game in hand in first place, 10 points ahead of them. So no, Liverpool are not well off. And you know what? Napoli are right where they should be, if you ask me, when it comes to in the scheme. And I'll get into this later in my address, but when it comes to where they're at, they're where they should be. But now his rebuttal was, okay, but Liverpool hasn't had Van Dijk all season. Well, when take a look at Napoli without Koulibaly, lost to Spezia, lost to Genoa, okay? What was that? The last gasp win against Udinese, lost to Inter, lost to Lazio. You know, they beat Cagliari. Okay. And that was after a break. So these are games that if you turn a loss into a draw, we're in a lot better shape. You understand? And right. it all has to do with Koulibaly, man. He's not the captain, but he's by far the most important player on the pitch. I'm not trying to say that losing Mertens isn't also important, you know, Insigne when he was injured, you know, and what have you, you know, Osimhen when he was out. But without Koulibaly, this team is lost, if you ask me. That's just the way it is.
I wouldn't necessarily say lost per se, because they do have other rocks, I guess you can call them, in the dressing room through Insigne, even at times Ospina. They can fill in those roles of being a leader, which, and Zielinski too, they can fill in those roles of being a leader. But if we're talking about strictly backline, they're lost. There's no way that backline, they can't save each other half the time. We saw what happened against Genoa. They looked lost. They didn't know where to cover, who Pandev to cover.
Right.
Pandev was walking right through them. Pandev's second goal literally walked right through them. And not
38 years old, right through. Yeah,
like it was unwatchable at the back, and not to mention the fact that I know we're going to get into this a little bit later, but you mentioned Di Lorenzo coming in playing at center back. Di Lorenzo needs rest. That guy needs to get off the field every once in a while.
I've been saying it all season, man.
He's burnt out. He is burnt out, and you can see it. He has no legs.
He did well the last game. I feel like he was definitely energetic. Politano sent him some balls. He sent in some crosses, and he did okay. But, again, you're not going to keep up that intensity game by game by game by game. So it's going to wear off a little bit. And I remember, Rafa, you saying at some point that, you know, K2 is part of the spine of Napoli. He's not just another player. Now, of course, there's leadership from Zielinski, from Ospina, from all these other players that definitely contribute, especially when we're considered, you know, they're considered veterans to the team. But K2 is one of those guys that when he's not there, you miss him, you know. And we saw just how it is. And now Manolas, his right-hand man, is gone. And we got Maximovic, who, if you look in the chat, they already dubbed him I'm not even going to repeat it, but we saw what the chat was saying about Maximovic, and we got Romani, who only has a game and a half this year. So these guys got to step up big, and this is why I was stressing so much rotation and all these things, Rafa, because you never know. Somebody goes down. We need somebody to come in. This guy got a game and a half of burn all year now that he has to go off of. But or maybe, what, two now because he came in the other day when Manolis got hurt. I'm sorry. But, you know, we're going to need to see these two backups step up big in February because we talked about having key clutch games, Rafa, and
it's the worst time you could ever ask for having our back line, which I've said many times could be one of the best back two center backs in the world in, right. You know, duo in Koulibaly and Manolas. And Manolas being out Koulibaly being out was already not looking good. It was a grim February. Now we might have a problem. And, you know, Romani played so well last year. There you go. Sereno. Romani was amazing last year. I hope that he can show his worth during these next few games. Romani in a back three at that Verona team was part of one of the best defenses in the league. And, you know, his slow start just has to do with not playing. And Ralph, you're right. You're 100% right. And, you know, this is something that I remember. I remember having a chat with Frank Crivello from Serie A Sit Down on Far From Vesuvius when Gattuso came in and asking him what he thinks, how he viewed Gattuso's time with Milan. Everybody said they loved him. Everybody loved him. The fans, the players, the people that he worked for, the people who worked for him just loved him. But he had his faults, and his faults were one of rotation was one of his faults, rotation and substitutions and when to make them. And he spilled it over into Napoli. Now we'll talk about how I feel about people calling for his head, you know, mm-hmm. I very prematurely, but we'll talk about that later in my state.
Yes.
But
hold on, everybody.
One of the things that we need to talk about is can Romani step up and play the way he did last season? Because if you have a strong Romani back there, you know, there's no reason why you can't have a decent defense in Husai, you know, Maximovic, Romani and Di Lorenzo. It's just there's no reason to not have we walked into the season with praising this depth. Well, we're gonna have to see it now. The problem is the depth was good for situations like rotation or, you know, substitutions or what have you. Now these guys, someone's got to take their pills or something. There's a ringing going on. I don't know who that is. But somebody's got to take – these guys have got to take the bulls by the horn and say, let's do this. And – it's going to be very difficult. I don't see it going very well in February. You know, I don't. People are calling for Gattuso now. Wait till the end of February.
He has no control over that. I feel bad for this guy half the time because people. Let me preface this right now. I remember I came on one show and you asked the question, should Gattuso be gone? And I said yes immediately, but I take that back because I didn't really think about it. This guy is getting ragged on for things he has no control over.
No control.
COVID protocols, injuries on injury on injury. Osimhen gone for 3 months. Your top signing, your number one striker, out of the lineup. Number one center back in the world, in my opinion, out of the lineup. Number two center back on your team, out of the lineup. Fabian Ruiz, COVID, out of the lineup. Like, these are core players on the team. Insigne, limping off the field, out of the lineup. These guys are core. They're the spine of the team, and he can't even use them. What do you expect out of the guy? He can't do much. Tactically, he gets it wrong. And I'm going to say, like, I'll rag on him tactically all day long. Like, the Atalanta game, sure, we got the result 0-0 at home. That's amazing. They didn't score an away goal. But tactically, the 3-4-3 doesn't work against Atalanta because you're playing them at their own game. So it's stuff like that we can blame Reno all we want. We can scream until we're blue in the face tactically. But when we start looking at how we've lost this season, unlucky penalty call against Inter, Lazio game – I can't remember what happened in the Lazio game. We just didn't really play well.
We had no Koulibaly.
We had no Koulibaly,
gave up that goal against Ciro Immobile. That was it.
That's two nothing. Yeah, like these losses could have easily been wins, but they we were missing the core, and it affects the team mentally, and it affects the team and their play on the field.
Well,
Ralph, I need you to put I need you to do me a favor and put an a comment that you had put up earlier back up. You have to
which
do
one?
It. It's the one from Joe Mafitano. I'm about to rag on him. And not okay. And it's nothing personal to Joseph.
Is it the same fight in this team?
Oh, it's
this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Joe.
S-A-R-R-I. I am so tired, and maybe I'll save most of this for my address too. I am so sick and tired of seeing those five letters. I'm just so tired of it. Okay, Maurizio Sarri got us 91 points. He got us all these points. He got us all, you know. But when it came down to it, Joe, when it came down to it, man, we lifted zero trophies. We did nothing with them. We did nothing but tire these players out. I'm surprised they weren't injured half the season. Mertens, by the end of the season, was sluggish around like this.
Exhausted.
He had no use of – we talk about Gattuso now and his failure to rotate. There was zero rotation. The substitutions were the same. He didn't utilize the squad that were given to him. They fought for him, yes, but they're fighting for Gattuso now too. And also, let's also point this out, please. These are not the same players. We have Insigne. We have Koulibaly. Who else do we have from that team? Callejon is gone. Hamsik's gone. Jorginho's gone. Alan is gone. Albiol is gone. Hussai is not the same player. Goulam is not the same player. He got injured. I'm sorry. It's over. And Sadi's not coming back. He's not coming back. Let's get rid of anything that's forget about it. We have to move on. We have to. It's pointless to think that Ancelotti was never going to come in and play Sadi. We knew that his tactics were going to change. But Sadi had the same tactics, 4-3-3. He couldn't change up if he needed to in the that's why we lost the Scudetto. We didn't get screwed. We didn't get the I'm so tired of hearing about how we got screwed over. We lost the Scudetto because we had one style and they figured it out. One style. Okay? We lost our heads against Fiorentina. It was over. It was over. When Juve beat Inter, yes. Okay. Crap. That was bull crap. They should never beat Inter. You know, Pjanic did the Triple H knee to whoever it was, and he should have been sent off, and it should have been a different result. But we got our asses handed to us against Fiorentina, and that's what lost the Scudetto. Not outside interference, not this, not that. Maurizio Sarri did not have us in the right mentality by the end of the season. He just didn't have it. And now that we have a manager in Ancelotti first, mind you, the players lost. Ancelotti lost the players, yes. But
Sarri, not Sarri.
Sarri, not sorry. But Ancelotti lost the players. Okay, Ancelotti lost the players. But Gattuso is here. Oh, 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3, 3-5, 3-4-3, changing formations up in the middle of the back. Like it didn't work. Sarri didn't do it, but now we all attacked him for that. Now that we have a manager that's doing that, we're attacking him now. Okay, we're not getting the results. Okay, we're losing the teams. Like, but what's the difference? What's the difference? There's no difference. Thanks, like Joe. You can't be upset about one thing and then bring the next manager in and he tries to do exactly what the manager didn't do before. We have 12 wins. We have 7 losses. Yes, but we only have 1 draw. We've only dropped points in 8 matches. It could have been a lot worse. It could have been a lot worse. Do we play sexy? No, we don't play sexy. Okay. Do we win a lot of games? We win enough games to be almost fourth place, but just forget about Maurizio Sarri. It's over. It's just over. It doesn't even matter about them watching the game, Joe. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter because if Napoli were right here, and I'm talking about the whole organization, the players, the manager, the trainers, the assistant manager, blah, 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 blah. It wouldn't freaking matter what happened against Inter with Juve. It wouldn't matter. okay? I'm just tired of hearing about Saudi, you know, and Joe Mafitano, dude, thank you for watching. I love it. But
Joe, we love you.
Thank you for the question.
Sorry.
But I can't talk. I can't stomach talking about, well, Saudi when he was here, or what about when Saudi was here? Oh, maybe. First of all, I bring Cavani. I want Cavani back so bad.
No,
that it hurts.
Don't say
Cavani,
that name, bro. No, you know what happens when
time
you start saying that name.
Cavani, okay. Cavani would cost $10 million, but he would cost zero to bring in. Okay, too much money in wages? Fine. We can have that argument. But let's take that out of the situation, okay? If everybody attacks me, they do. Everybody attacks me for saying I want Cavani back. He costs too much. How much money do you think Saudi's going to cost after what he made at Juventus? That he's sitting at home doing nothing right
he's
now.
He's getting paid
how much
$6
million
right now.
How much money do you think that he's going to want from Napoli? Get out of here, man. It's not happening. It's just
it ain't gonna be $6 million. We paid Ancelotti $4 million. No way we're giving Saudi $6 million. I mean, listen, Saudi's at home chilling on the couch right now. That's you know what? I'm happy that Juventus needs to continue to pay him. Screw them. You wanted to overpay that guy? This is what you get. But you know, listen, I have spoken defense of Saudi, but. And I still like some of the things he did. I'm not gonna deny some of the joy that Napoli brought me. I don't think anybody will, guys. And I know we've been longing for it. That's why we keep hearing these names like Saadi and Cavani. It's these moments that are stuck in our mind that we want to experience again. And it's so frustrating to see some of the things that we've been seeing now. Is Gattuso the best guy? No. Does he make some mistakes? Yes. And we've been so outspoken. I mean, I think by now we've had about 3 episodes on these damn coaches. I mean, they are taking over the conversation. But I understand why. And it's because Napoli Dons, we are longing for this joy again to watch this beautiful Napoli, to watch them – win hard and work hard and not look that way. But, guys, the reality is that I don't think these people are coming back, and they never will. And we need to look forward. We all need to look forward and find the next best thing, because there is other good things on the horizon, Rafa and Carmine and Napoli Dons. And that's all I'm going to say. You know, I hear everybody for loving Saudi, but it's over. Guys, don't go back to your exes, okay? Just any time in life.
I was just about to say that. I was just Carmine, about to say that.
That's just.
I'm
going to
give you a few
man.
Minutes, Carmine. We'll give Carmine a minute or two on this if you want, Carmine.
Yeah, you know what? I got.
But then
I,
let's move forward, because I
got nothing really to add on to this, because you guys basically sold the show with that. Like, those fantastic points from both of you. Like, I get what you mean. Like, when we were watching Saturday in 2018. We all experienced the highest of highs, and in our minds, as Napoli fans, as passionate and sometimes as crazy as we are, we always we're. It's like striving to get that next high. We always want to get to that high, but what we're seeing now, we get frustrated. There's no consistency, and it seems like that high is never going to come back, and it just happens year in and year out ever since that point. The thing is you can't for Saudi especially, he made his bed, he has to lay in it now. He did not want to sign back. He went to Juventus. That for me alone should be like, no, you that's it. You've made your decision. You can't come back now. And then, but this isn't sick with Saudi. This goes for other coaches as well. I don't want to, as a manager, I don't want to see Mazzari back. I don't want to see Benitez back. I don't want to see these guys, because we went with them once. It didn't work out. Move on. Go to the next person. Allegri's still out there. Allegri wouldn't be a bad decision to take in. Pochettino, when he was available, that would have been a great option. Move forward. You can't keep regressing. You go back, you regress as a club, and this club cannot afford to do that. If they're ever going to win something, it has to be within these next couple of years with the core group that's still there, i.e. Insigne, Zielinski, etc. They need to do that. And in order to do that, you need to change something. Either it's management, something in management, something with the managers, which is a whole different topic that I can go on a tangent on, but actually, I don't want to.
But well, you know what? Let's segue. I'm sorry to cut you off, Carmen. Let's
no, go ahead
to that because you know they say the fish smells at the top, right? You know, So I guess I'm gonna throw this one out there, guys. I'm gonna throw the ADL out there.
Okay.
Cool to everybody. Because ADL, that was then, this is now. And I think, listen, ADL, he took over the team. He brought the team back up from Serie, the pits and ashes of Serie C into the excuse me, guys, I got a dry throat today. From the pits and ashes of Serie C to the top flight of Serie A. I mean, he has done a lot. And you know, he's an outspoken man. I know he has a bit of an ego. He throws this thing out, and he did a great job. But, guys, the question that I want to pose to you, because I've been asking myself this for a little bit now, and this obviously, you know, I want the chat to get in on it. ADL, is he – what's his performance now? I'm going to commend him for his performance bringing the team up. Now that the team is up, how is ADL's job? I mean, is he doing the right thing? Is he the guy fit? Can he take us to the next level? Can we get even better now? You know, how do you feel he's been doing? I got my opinion, but I want yours. Rafa, you want to start here? Or
yes, let me take this
away, guys, and let the chat go. Go to town, boys and girls.
First of all, Christopher Estrada, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I saw that. I know you're going, Rafa.
The problem is, and I'm wearing the tracksuit, so I'm ready. But the problem is I don't smoke. So there's a lot of fans out there that's not going to be happy with me. You understand? It's a disgusting habit. I don't do it. Okay? Now, ADL, okay? He catches a lot of crap. He catches a lot of crap about not spending money, not bringing in the right players, not bringing in these bigger names, what have you, okay? But I don't think ADL has anything to do with our issues right now, okay? ADL has spent the money that everyone's clamoring to spend. Yeah, okay, James Rodriguez didn't go through, everybody. I understand, and I was the one saying he's coming.
Why is everybody sweating that guy? Like, why? Okay. Why does everybody –
whatever. Like, get whatever. Off James. He get off Real Madrid ass. And did Mango Gats, okay?
Mango Gats.
Now, he brings in – Lozano.
Yes, we are, Gaetano. Record. That's what we do here, okay? We question everything.
Chucky Lozano was a transfer record. Aussie Men is a transfer record. Everybody is very nervous about Aussie Men right now. Let's look back at Lozano. Lozano started last season, and it was not a good season for him. And now he's a superstar. Next season, where Aussie Men might not have you know, the same injuries and COVID might be a thing of the past. We'll see the real Osimhen. There's still time for him to progress this season.
Yeah, he's getting
let's
there,
not
by
forget
the way,
everybody. Yeah. We're still in the middle of the season, so let's not forget about that. Okay.
Right.
But that's that. Now, in the past, ADL has been criticized for not bringing in these big names, right? Look at Inter. Look at Inter right now. How many years have they been out of the limelight? Now they're coming back into the limelight. And when they get back in, they can't even get past the Champions League group stage, number one. And now number two, all the money that they spent on the coach, the players, Lukaku, Alexis, blah, 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 whoever was free, wasn't free with the high wages, whatever, taken over by Suning. Now Suning is in trouble. Do you guys want that? Do you want that? Do you want, okay, you know, to compete again for Scudetto, second place. We might win a Scudetto, and then we fall short, and now we're in trouble with money. We can't pay our players. Right. We can't. And I'm just using Inter as an example because then there's Milan. What about Milan? Now they're good, but when they spent 200 million euro in the summertime two seasons ago, what'd they do? They did nothing. They qualified for the Europa League, and then they dropped out of that because of financial. It's a fair play. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
fun fact, ADL, Napoli, the only team to pay their players, by the way.
There you go.
January.
Just going to bring that. Yeah. ADL before, just paid all his players. ADL just paid all his players.
At least we pay our players.
Maybe, because we're not behind the scenes, everybody. Maybe, you know, I feel like this is all part of my address, so I'm just going to let it out, okay?
Let it out, Rafa. I mean, here we
maybe the fact that Napoli wasn't playing well has to do with not getting paid. Then they got paid. Then they had that visit, you know, that dinner that they had where they got the visit from the fans. Then they had, you understand? So there are things that we don't see in the back, man, that we watch. We read reports. We read people who are journalists and reporters, and even us. We're all just fans, and we just watch what we see unfold. Then we have an opinion about it, and that's what it is. It's all an opinion. You understand? But what ADL is doing is, okay, guys, listen, I'm going to pay my players. I'm going to pay you guys. Is that good enough for you to perform? So ADL in the past, okay, he built this team from nothing, okay?
Poop.
So that's why I like to say, and I caught crap from one James McGee. Now I'm going to say his name, James McGee, who started the Sempre podcast. He started the Sempre podcast, which got me into this. And now we've evolved into Far From Vesuvius, and we've grown and this and that. And now he's since gone.
Here we are.
Okay. He's a Rangers fan because he's from Glasgow, Scotland. So he's a Rangers fan first. He visited Napoli and fell in love with Napoli like everybody would. Okay. When I mentioned that ADL, that Napoli is a 15, at that time, it's like an 11 or 12 year old club, right? He shit all over me. And he said to me, how can you say that? They're SSC Napoli. They're 1926. They're two Scudettos. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. But then I said to him, well, Rangers is a new club too, because they went through the same thing, administration, you know, the fallout, the fallimento, whatever. And he got even worse to me because how can I say that? Rangers is an historic club. Blah, blah. But when you start from scratch and sign players like Picchio Varicchio and Matteo Gianello and Ietso, and we had Abate and Pozzi and Calaio eventually and Roberto Sosa and player and Ivano Trotta, and these are players that we had to build, and this wasn't that far away, man. 2 years prior to that, Fiorentina went out. Genoa had issues. Now let's take a look at Genoa. Let's take a look at Fiorentina, and let's take a look at Napoli. Where has Napoli been? And where has Genoa and Fiorentina been? Fiorentina right now is holding up the bottom of the table. Genoa is habitual relegation contenders. And here we are, Napoli, this little, I mean, not little, we're the fourth biggest city in the world, but you know what I mean, from the south. We're not supposed to be there. We're not supposed to be up there. We don't have the richest zone. We don't have the highest payroll. We don't have our own stadium. You know what we have? You know what we have? We have this right here. We have heart. And the reason that we are up front every single season, 10, 11, 12 straight years of qualifying for Europe, playing in European group stages, is because of Aurelio De Laurentiis. And I don't want to hear anything about him. Is it him? Is it this? This is now? Blah, blah. No. ADL has done a magnificent job with this club. And nobody needs to criticize him. He doesn't need to sell the club. He doesn't need to change with the. He's already changing by buying these players that are more expensive. You know, could he get a bigger name? Maybe. But guess what? We're doing it with stars, but not super duper stars. And we have one season in seventh place that we still qualify for Europe. Okay, and in a season that in our lowest season since Mazzarri, we still won a trophy and are still in the Europa League knockout stages. You know what I mean? It's not the Champions League. It's not the sexiest, you know, European tournament. Yeah. But we just spent four or five seasons in the Champions League, and we'll get back there. We'll get back there.
I don't think, Ralph, I just want to go, just to piggyback, then Carmine, I see you drooling. I know you want to say something, and I'm going to let you right now. But I just wanted to validate Rafa's opinion. And I want to let everybody know that it is not easy to take a team that was bankrupt and bring them back to this flight. It's not. It's very hard, even at a business standpoint, you know, at all different kinds of levels. It is a super difficult thing to do. And if anybody knows anything about the city of Napoli. It is not an easy place. It is cutthroat. It's very hard. We've spoken about the bureaucracy, the red tape of Italy alone. The fact that, you know, it's this north-south kind of dynamic there, and the south is constantly having to compete, constantly having to prove themselves. Is the man perfect? No. Did he bring glory and honor back to this team and this side of the peninsula?
Absolutely, yes. He did. Absolutely, yes. He did. And everybody wants the Scudetto, and I understand that.
Right.
I'll give it to Carmine. I will give it to Carmine. Everybody wants a Scudetto. Everybody wants it. But you know what? It may come. It may not come. But Napoli are relevant again, man. And I don't care what anybody says. Napoli are relevant. Even in the Europa League. Even sitting in sixth place today.
Yeah,
even, you know, dudes, you understand? I keep saying it.
I don't want to interrupt, Ralph.
I interrupt Ralph.
Ralph got triggered. You know what?
No, don't worry about it.
I said my address. My address is done.
It's done. All right.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm going to backtrack a little bit here, and I'm going to start off by saying ADL doesn't need to leave. ADL should not leave. By any circumstance, he should not leave. Can we criticize him? And I have criticized him in the past for some of the things that he hasn't done correctly, i.e. the youth development. Our youth development is non-existent. We have zero youth development. There is no infrastructure.
Perfect comment.
To Primavera all day. Exactly. Primavera all day. Look at all the talent. Look at all the talent that has come out of the Campania region. Whenever I go to Italy, I still see people playing on the beach. That I say, guys, go to ADL right now. He'll sign you. You're amazing. Yeah. But the talent is plentiful. Honestly, it's amazing.
I know, because I've seen it. I've seen it, Carmine.
I've seen it. With no infrastructure, with little to no scouting, no infrastructure for building up a youth development system, that's what separates what's the best way to put this without seeming – that gives you just another layer, another aspect of being successful. That's probably the best way to say it, because you don't have to rely on signings every year. We want a left back. We could have had a left back right now if we started a youth development program 5 years ago. Do you see what I'm saying? We don't need to keep relying on signings if ADL had made some right decisions like that. Now, I'm not going to bash him all. I'm not going to keep bashing him over stuff like that, because he took a team that was in financial trouble and brought them back up to the top flight of Serie A and brought them to Champions League soccer. That's no easy feat. I can't think of another team that has done that in recent history, to be honest with you.
It took him 7 seasons.
7 years. Exactly. In seven seasons, he brought them back.
I'll never forget, and I'm sorry to interrupt, and I'll let you get back to it, but I'll never forget. We visited Napoli in 2005. It was their first season in Serie A. Okay, through a cousin who worked for the groundskeepers, we were able to meet all the players from that year. Eddie Rea,
Rafa Nua,
Paolo Marino, Carmando, even the Massaggiatore, right? Yeah. We were able to meet all the players, and we met Eduardo De Laurentiis, and we took a picture with him. And after the picture, my dad yelled, "Napoli al champions," and he said, "Campioni del mondo." So we're like, oh, no, he's gonna make us world champions. And inside, I'm like, yeah, all right. When I'm my dad's age, maybe. It took 7 seasons to get back to the Champions League. This was a team that ADL only had a pen. He said it. He's I had a pen and I had a desk. I didn't even have balls. He had to use Legea equipment while signing for Coppa. I'm not kidding. Yeah.
I remember that. That is a fact, ladies and gentlemen.
So
we didn't have soccer.
We had to start the season 2 weeks late. There was an X where our name was supposed to be because they didn't know if we were even going to get to play that season. We started our season 2 weeks late. We ended up in the final of the promotion playoffs that season. And then we were promoted, and we're Serie A. And the first season in Serie A, we finished in eighth place, went to Inter Toto Cup, beat every single team above us from 1 to 7 at the San Paolo. And then we haven't missed Europe after that. Are you kidding me? Should ADL leave? What do you – you leave.
You leave.
Come on, man.
No. Having well, hold said on.
I just,
this.
Nobody said ADL should
not
leave.
Not you,
I
Ralph.
Just
not
say
you.
That, but
I'm just saying.
No, I know not me. I know not me.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Saying,
everybody
Come
out
on,
there.
Come on, man.
I think we're all on the same
guy,
page.
He just
shit.
Gets – No, we all are. I mean, because anybody who knows anything knows what it takes. What it takes. And like I said, he may have not been perfect, boys and girls, but come on.
Listen, go ahead, interject, bro. There's one thing that I do have to say, though, is that if we are to change something in management, we have to restructure our sporting directors. We have to restructure our social media. We have to restructure our global outreach because we are terrible in all three of those aspects. Giuntoli needs to pack his bags and leave tomorrow.
I won't
if
disagree
Giuntoli
there.
Leaves tomorrow, sorry,
who's
Rafa, this?
I agree. No. I agree. And that was one thing that I was going to touch on, but I wanted you to have your minute.
Okay.
I feel like ADL every couple years feels like, okay, this, you know, this DS is growing stale. We got to get another one in. And I'm telling you, I have that feeling that this is the season.
This is it. No, he has to go. It's got to be.
And as much as I appreciate the players that he has brought in, because he was part of the Benitez, Saudi era. I think now it's time. Maybe we go that route, like you said. I agree with the Primavera, and I definitely agree with the social media A and the global outreach B, because you know as cool as it was that we got tickets for that game, they really didn't do it right, man. That U.S. tour was not right. It didn't happen.
That strikes a nerve with me, specifically in a club aspect. But going back to this Giuntoli thing, right? Look at the successful clubs in Italy. Who are their sporting directors? Zanetti, Maldini, Nedved, top three. All household names. All have links to successful clubs within Europe. All of them, with their names, their status, they have pull. They attract players just by being there. And we have who? Giuntoli? Who cares about Giuntoli? Get rid of this guy. He can't make a signing for his life. This is the third season now we've been asking for a left back. Have we got a left back? Oh, God.
No, and now we're about to lose you.
Oh, God.
And now we're about to lose you for free.
Yeah, exactly. And we give him at the worst time. We're getting rid of Hizai. We have nobody in the back. Get in a household name. Honestly, if we're going to bring back Benitez – sporting director. Benitez is a sporting director because he has an eye for talent. With Benitez, and I have it here, we brought in Higuain, Mertens, Albiol, Jorginho, Gulam, Reina, 84 million. All of them. And they're all world-class players. Yes. You're saying that
not
we
only
can't
that,
bring-
but they're all staples to this team. Exactly. These are not guys that just left. These are guys that we love and we trust to help this Napoli team, Carmine. So I'm with you 10,000% there. This guy brought in staples.
And on top of this, I'm not going to blame ADL because I believe ADL has a proper vision. I believe ADL has exactly – Giuntoli is asleep at the wheel. You give me his phone, I can make more signings than him at this point. But
go ahead.
The other thing is ADL has a vision. And I remember he said this on Radio Kiss Kiss. He says – all of that for 84 million, and I couldn't believe it.
84 million.
A lot of it came from the Cavani signing too. But it was Benitez.
60 million of that. Yeah.
I mean, listen, but that's the thing is that Benitez came in.
Right.
You know, listen. Go ahead. Yeah. Koulibaly too. Yeah. We all talk about a new manager coming in, and I'm not going to necessarily disagree that we might need a new manager, but not yet. Not yet. He's got to start afresh with a new DS, with a new system, with Zaccagni coming in already, with a new left back, because we're going to get one, because now we're gonna be forced to get one. But everybody needs to stay calm, because Gattuso, whether he gets us to the Champions League or whether he doesn't get us to the Champions League, if he's going to leave, he's going to leave in the summer, and we're going to bring in a whole new –
Yeah.
You know, sporting
Brace for impact.
System. It's gonna be. It's gonna have to be a revolution. It will, because I'd said it. One Champions League, okay. Two Champions Leagues. We can't miss two champions.
No. We need that.
That can't happen. If we do miss two, we better not miss three.
Can't. But there's another thing. If we get rid of Gattuso now, who are we going to bring in? And not only that, it's only going to cause more mental problems for the team.
I'm sorry, Carmen. I didn't mean it.
Oh, sorry.
Again, like I'm going with you. I mean that comment. I'm sorry. Cut that conversation off, guys. The Gattuso ain't going anywhere.
You bring in a new manager right now. Halfway through the season, the team has to adapt to a new sense of identity and whole new system. If let's say you bring in. I see a couple comments here. You have Juric. Juric won't come in, but let's just say you bring in a manager like Juric who plays a 3-5-2. Now he's been playing 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1 for the past 3 years. Now they got to play a 3-5-2. We saw what happens when they switch a formation like that against Atalanta. It didn't work. It's got to happen fresh. You got to get rid of
Byron. Gaetano's comment, I agree. If we don't make top four this year, it's a major disappointment. I understand 100%. But it has to be Gattuso that does me do it. We can't bring in another manager. If we bring another manager in and then don't make top four, how does that make us look? You understand? Now, if we do bring in another manager, let's say we do bring in another manager and he does get us to top four. Now, let's say it's a Benitez or it's a Mazzarri or it's a manager Spalletti or
Christopher's asking. He's been
Juric. Okay, but Ivan Juric is with Verona right now. He's not leaving Verona until the end of the season. Put it this way. Verona, Italiano, De Zerbi, all these coaches that are younger coaches that are good, that have Verona playing great, that have Spezia winning matches, that have Sassuolo playing the best football they've played in a long time. These managers are tied up with their clubs right now, so they're not coming in yet. They have to come in at the end of the season. Now, again, if we bring in a Spalletti, even someone wrote Spalletti, please God no. If we bring in a Spalletti. Yeah, but Allegri's not coming in the middle of the season.
No, not in the middle of the season. I'm saying starting fresh.
No, what I'm saying is if we fire Gattuso now because in Twitter land and Facebook world, that's what we have to do. We have to get rid of Gattuso. He has to go. This guy's not going anywhere, but if he does, devil's advocate, let's say we fire Gattuso tomorrow because we don't make the Coppa Italia. Let's just say. Right, and we bring in a Quinton. Please, God, no, Montella, absolutely not. but let's say we do. Let's say we bring in Montella, and then let's say Montella somehow gets us a top four. You're gonna tell me that a Montella or a coach that we used to have, you're gonna tell me that ADL is not gonna give them a contract next season? They did it to Gattuso. Gattuso was worthy enough for another contract. So this is going to start a vicious cycle, a merry-go-round of bringing in managers midway through the season and then giving them another year because they got us to the Champions League. We need to start afresh next season. It worked with Mazzarri. Mazzarri came in, but Donadoni was fired after 8 or 9 matches. And quick, see ya. Mazzarri came in and revitalized the club, and it wasn't too late. It's too late now. Yes. It's too late. We're still but what baffles my mind is people want Gattuso to go. We are literally 3 points behind with a game in hand of Champions League. We are still in the Coppa Italia about to go to the final. We're one away goal away from the final. Let's just put it that way. Okay? Two finals in a row, unprecedented for Napoli. Also, we're in the Europa League still. Like, we have to let these games play. Now, February doesn't go our way. I still don't blame Gattuso because it's not his fault that Manolas got hurt. It's not his fault that Koulibaly got COVID. It's not his fault that Mertens is injured. It's not his fault that just things aren't going our way right now. Aussie man, it's not his fault. He puts the players that we have at our disposal in. And we thought that this bench was so grand. And it might be really good. And we might have top three strongest team on paper. But when it comes down to it, the situations that we were put in because of COVID and because of the condensed schedule is not Gattuso's fault. And in some cases, it's not the player's fault either. For some teams, it's working out fine. But for a lot of teams, it's not. It's just not. You're seeing teams like Spezia beat on a winning streak. Verona beat almost every team ahead of them this season. You know, Sassuolo had their start that they had. Now Udinese is winning games all of a sudden. Everybody has to understand that this is a different season. It's a different season.
Sorry, just to piggyback off what you're saying here. Like, just like looking at last year to this year, right? Last year we finished off season 18 wins and 12 losses. As we stand right now, we have 12 wins, 7 losses, and a draw.
Right.
We are a game in hand, and we are, I can't remember, 3-4 points away from fourth place?
Three out of fourth. 3 points.
Yeah, it's like
3 points out of fourth with a game in hand. Don't get me wrong. Anyone who knows me, and Rafa, you know me as well. When things start going bad, I'll fly off the handles and I'll lose it a little bit.
Off the handles, not the word, man.
Not off the handles.
We're not a steady B team.
You know, when I can accept my own faults. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'm saying I'm wrong right now. When you step back and when I analyze this team and I analyze what we've done. Sure, we have trouble when we play against the top sides. We've played Inter, Lazio, Milan. We've lost all of those games. That's fine, but we've won a lot of those games. We've won a lot of games as well, and there's still half a season left to play, and there's still finals, and there's still Europa League. So we are blinded by a recency bias. We see a game against Spezia, we lose our minds, and I lost my mind too. But that's because of recency bias. I just want to come out here and say, like, everyone from the club, everyone, every Napoli tifoso, come back with a new perspective, because think about it, with the COVID protocols, with the injuries, with everything that's going on, Reno doesn't have control over this, and Reno is making the best of the situation that he's given. When life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. That's what he's trying to do right now.
He's making limoncello, maybe.
He's making limoncello. And considering all of this too, just think about our play. We have 36 goals from open play. That's, I think, one of the highest in Europe, and definitely the highest in Italy.
You're right. You're
so,
right.
And 16 against. With the back line that we have right now, that we've been dealing with part of the season, 16 against is a miracle. But we have 16 against. Is Reno at fault sometimes? Yes. Is he to blame? Sometimes, but
sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Sometimes no. But you can't just find a scapegoat and absolutely crucify this guy over some things that he can't handle. Let him ride out the season. You let him go through the season. At the end of the season, you reevaluate. If he makes the top four, which is what we need, it's crucial that we make Champions League within this season. We can't miss it next season, like you said. You come back, you reevaluate. Let's say we make it to a Coppa Italia final. We make it into the top four. You have to give them that time to work. This is not a normal season. These guys are playing every 3 days, sometimes twice a week. This is not normal for these players. And physiologically, it's stressful for them as well. It's stressful for Gattuso. It's stressful for the players. This is not a season where we should be crucifying anyone so harshly. We should just take a step back, analyze what we have right now. We're on a good track. We're set to reach some of our goals that we set out from the start of the season. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I expected a Scudetto for reasons I was talking to you about before, with Pirlo coming in, with Juventus. They weren't going to be as good. Atalanta was going to be iffy. You know, I didn't think Milan was going to have this run that they're having. And Inter was the only threat. And we can handle Inter. We can take them on any day of the week. So I think just that expectation of Scudetto and that fixation, we got to win, we have to do it this year. That's what causes this outburst. That's when people are saying heads have to roll. They have to roll right now. It's either now or never. No, it's not. It can wait.
No,
it can wait. Just take time. Restructure at the end of the season. I'm saying get rid of Giuntoli. If Gattuso doesn't reach his goals, get rid of Gattuso. You bring in, you move forward. You don't regress. You bring in a proper tactician, a proper manager. You bring in a proper sporting director, i.e., I'm saying either Cannavaro or Benitez would be an ideal, right? And it would be nice. You restructure. That's it. That's all you got to do. And watch watch next season. If you restructure
I like the idea of Fabio Cannavaro. That would be a nice. Cannavaro was Fabio or Paolo, either one.
I think Paolo would be a better option.
Somebody who can kind of relate directly to the players probably be a good option.
Paolo would be a better option.
Players can go to. Yeah.
Paolo being a club legend. If Hamsik had been retired, maybe Hamsik. And it's not too late. Those things can still happen. But here's the deal. Wanda Nara. Yeah. Wanda Nara.
Yeah. Sure.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Okay. Last week on the the episode that we had Ken with the Coppa Italia semifinal.
Yeah,
first
Coppa Italia.
I brought up the poll that I took for Far From Vesuvius, that if Gattuso should go, if he reaches fourth, or if he should stay. And everybody agreed, and even I did, that possibly he stays if he does win the Europa League. If he does win, now winning the Europa League is a hard ask, but getting back to the Champions League is the goal. Now, I agreed that possibly Gattuso does stay if he meets his objective, sup Luca. But here's the thing, man. I'm slowly starting to turn, and I understand. As much as I have his back, Gattuso, as he's a Napoli manager, I'm slowly starting to turn to the other side, where even if he does meet this objective, I think he's going to have to go. And here's why. Because somebody brought it up a little bit earlier, but he gets crap after every single loss or every single drop point. He gets the crap kicked out of him by the media, by the fans, Quentin, you know, and I don't think it's fair. And I don't think he's even going to want to stay after that.
No,
that's number one. Yeah. Dumped on after every other game. That's number one.
Quentin,
our
sound boy, shout out to him.
Yes. Yes. But number two, here's the number two is I just think it's time that we revamp the system.
I agree.
And if that means Gattuso goes, then it means Gattuso goes. And I thank him for his services. I just don't agree. So I'm with you fans. I'm with the fans that are like, Gattuso doesn't seem like he's the guy. He's probably the guy to get you to here, but then we need the guy from here to get you to here. And I agree with that, but I don't think right now is the time. And that's why I never had Napoli as Scudetto contenders, is because of Gattuso. I know what we're getting in Gattuso. Gattuso was brought in to get us out of the crap that we were in with Ancelotti, because we needed that fiery personality that Ancelotti wasn't. We needed that. And now we got that. Right. Now we need to get to fourth. And we might be able to get to fourth with Gattuso, with his style. But from fourth to one, I didn't think – I mean, you brought up Pirlo. I had all the intentions of putting Juventus as Scudetto favorites, even with Pirlo, because I joke around a lot with my cousins – we could manage Juventus and they're going to win a Scudetto. That's why everybody who brings up Sadi, he won a Scudetto with Juve, though. Yeah, look at the team he had. He had Cristiano Ronaldo. He had Paulo Dybala. Right. He had, you know, just look at Juve. Forget about it. Anybody could coach Juve and win. Ralph Pizarro could coach Juve and win a Scudetto. That's just the way it is.
Thank you.
Pirlo, it's not over for
them. Make them lose on purpose.
Mind you, it's not over for them. I agree with you, Carmine. I didn't think Inter would be that great. Defensively, there's a little bit to be left desired.
Yeah.
Same thing with Atalanta. I think Atalanta's defense wasn't that great before, and losing Castagne and losing who else was it? Whatever. Right. I don't think that they're great defensively either. So for me, it was always Juve and then Napoli, maybe second, third, you know what I'm saying? Fourth, definitely. But we're on that track. We're on that track. We just have to wait. I do want to address Gaetano, too, because Gaetano has a lot to say. He's very – and I heard his podcast. He had a podcast with Joe Fischetti in the Calcio – Forza Napoli Calcio. That he's doing the worldwide one, which is great. I love it. I love hearing other Napoli fans and how they became fans and their take on things. I love it. So Gattuso was the first episode and I listened to it, and he said by nature he's a pessimist. Well, by nature, I'm a glass half full guy.
Gaetano
himself. Gaetano. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a pessimist too.
By nature, I'm a glass half full guy. And I like to see things not just with Napoli, but in life. Half full, man. I really try. And
Rafferty's supposed to have a warm blanket, full. You know?
I mean, like, I'm like a snuggie, man. I'm like a snuggie. My fiance just got this comfy get up, this overall comfy get up. Yeah. I feel like that.
You're like a big comfy. So, Rafa, Carmine is going to make another quick point. Guys, then we got to wrap it up because we're past the hour mark here. Carmine, I know you wanted to say something. I'm going
to
let you
just piggyback on this, and it's not going to take long. What I'm going to say is this one's for all my Toronto sports fans too, all my Toronto boys watching this right now, representing the Napoli Club for you guys. This is like a Kawhi Leonard situation. Let's just think about this for a second. The Toronto Raptors would have never won anything. Now, I'm going to see how this is going to relate to them. The Toronto Raptors wouldn't have won.
I'm with you.
They were always good. Toronto was a consistent playoff team, but they could never get past the first or second round until they bring in someone like Kawhi Leonard. Now, Kawhi Leonard just adds that extra something. Now, in the game of basketball, he's a fantastic shooter. He's fantastic on defense. He is – a great player, one of the greatest of all time. Now let's relate this back to Napoli. Napoli needs a Kawhi Leonard situation. I'm talking about management in this situation. You need to bring in a proper proven manager. That's why I'm so fixated on something like Allegri, because he has that experience with him. He's won before. He's won six times with Juventus. He knows what it takes to win the team. And even though he plays ugly football, we as Napoli fans, we are so fixated on the Sarri situation. We played beautiful football. You don't need beautiful football to win. Ugly football wins too. All right? Allegri played ugly football. He got 1-0 results. But guess what? That's 3 points. That's another 3 points on the table. Mm-hmm. Another 3 points on the table. And that accumulates over the season. In terms of management styles, depending on how Gattuso is this season – I think we have to have that Kawhi Leonard situation come up. You need to bring in a proper manager. And like I've been reiterating this, hammering it in, even in my own podcast, restructure management, because that is crucial for success. That is all I had to say about that.
I do like what Joe asked right here. I'm sorry, Rafi, but Joe Reese says, is he a guy to build from scratch, though? That's a great point by him, because Allegri has a Scudetto with Milan that he overtook from, you know, I mean, they were superstars on that team, man. You know what I mean? And then he came in after, you know, after Conte did his thing for Juve. And that's a good point. I think to fit in our narrative when it comes to a total restructure, I think a guy like Ivan Juric is the man for that, man. I think he's got that. But, you know, honestly, I don't think I'm not discrediting what you say. And I think I'd like to have Allegri because of the experience that he has in this league. He knows how to win. He knows how to win. And with what Giuseppe just said, with Benitez as the director or somebody like Benitez, somebody who's respected in the community, I think we can. I think they could work together. I mean, those are big names. Allegri and Benitez are big names.
Yes.
Yeah. And I would welcome that. I would welcome any kind of change that might benefit us in the long run. You know, so that's why I'm saying, like even this Vincenzo Italiano, I don't know, because it's his first season with Spezia or his second, whatever it is. I don't know how many seasons he had with Spezia, but he's very young, so I don't know.
So, guys, I got one more question, and then we out in 5,000.
Let's do it.
Great show, by the way, for everybody. And then Carmine, I'm going to let you plug. All right. Yes. One question from Christopher Estrada. A little pregame talk here, guys. Question of the day: how do we line up for Atalanta? How do we win? Let's give some quick answers, guys. I'll leave it out to both of you. If the chat wants to get involved, please do. But I want to hook up Christopher here. He's a good viewer.
We don't line up in a 3-4-3. That's for sure. We have to be attacking.
I don't think we can.
We have to be attacking. Yeah. So it's got to be a 4-3-3. I think that. You know, obviously, we're gonna need goals, right? Well, mm-hmm. we need goals, so I think we need to press. So I think Mario Rui and Di Lorenzo are on the wings. The obvious duo in the middle. And I mean, I think Elmas has been playing great. I think you put Elmas, Demet, Zielinski in the midfield. And then I think you go Insigne, Lozano, and Petagna. You know, maybe we get Osimhen to start.
What about Ozzy?
Maybe we get Osimhen to start. I just think that Osimhen, I think after coming in the 52nd minute, I don't know what it was. I think he's starting to get his groove a little bit.
Yeah.
He was kind of creating some space for them and showing his, you know, worth on the pitch. I think in the last match, I think it was just a little too late, you know. But honestly, you can't fault Gattuso for not having started him for a while because clearly he wasn't ready. Again, that's another thing. Gattuso knows what he knows and we don't know. You know, we don't watch training. We get training reports, but we don't watch the training. We don't see what he sees. Carmine, what do you think?
I'm almost in agreement with you. Formation, I'm going to switch it up a bit. 4-1-4-1 would probably be the best way to go about it.
I like that too.
Remember, you don't want to concede. You don't want to concede, and you have to be solid.
Yeah, you don't want to concede. You don't want to concede, but you don't. But one goal. If you concede one goal, you're back in it. That's the benefit of us being holding Atalanta at home.
Exactly. But here's my reasoning behind this is that in a 4-1-4-1 formation, and I did a little thread on this on my Twitter too. We played this against Roma, and Roma almost plays in the same kind of formation that Atalanta does, give or take. It worked really well. Napoli was able to press. If Roma had the ball in their half, Napoli was able to press very high up the field, almost in like a 4-4-2 block, putting pressure on their center backs, forcing the ball either back to the goalie or wide, and blocking off the midfield, matching them with the four. It's a perfect formation in that sense. Even when you're transitioning from your own end into your offensive phases, you have Insigne and Lozano who can exploit the wings, especially playing in a 4-1-4-1, where you're playing a low five block defensively. You're inviting them to push forward. And then when you have the ball, quick counter over the top, Insigne Lozano is going to get there. And that's how you can exploit Atalanta. Because Atalanta, on these fast counter breaks, they don't know how to defend. They can't defend those fast counter breaks. Mm-hmm. And if you have a front three with, especially if you put Osimhen in, that's why I think Osimhen should get the start. You put Osimhen with Lozano and Insigne, that's a nightmare for the back line. Because if you have these quick counters, good luck chasing them. They're going to fly by you, and you're just going to keep rolling on them. That's why I think a 4-1-4-1 is probably the best formation to play.
So let me ask you this then. In a 4-1-4-1, is it Bakayoko or is it Demme that's playing in that sweeper position sort of?
Demme can still play that position. He's a very good ball winner, and he's also very good at distributing the ball. Demme, for sure, in that position.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. And let me just finish this. Let me just finish really quick. Who was it? Somebody asked if the away goals rule is in effect. So 1-1, any score draw, it favors us, Peter. Any score draw, even if it goes to extra time after being 0-0, a score draw in extra time still benefits us. So one or two goals for us, and they have to score three. You understand? Yeah. So we need this final. A lot of people like to Mickey Mouse Cup, the Coppa Italia. We absolutely need to get to the final. I think that's a big, big statement for us to get to the final is a big statement, especially a second one in a row. I 100% agree with whoever just said that before. We have to get to the final.
Sweet guys. Christopher, the gods have spoken. I hope we answered that question real good. Carmine, I want to let you plug. Please tell us what's going on. Let us know where we can find you on Twitter. Put on your handles. Let them know before we get out of here.
Well, before I get into that, I just want to say thank you again for having me on. Truly, I had a fantastic time talking to you guys.
Oh, man, you were great.
Interacting with the gang.
You were great.
Shout out to Canada.
And I'm sorry about our little beef from
Be sorry. I'm glad that we had that.
No, I'm going to admit that I was wrong when I put fans in quotation marks. I was wrong. It was not right. And I won't do that again. Everybody is a Napoli fan. Everybody has passion. The way they show, you know, Gaetano and myself have been, he's on the chat here too. We've been back and forth on Twitter about
blow
it.
Blow up the stream, Forza Napoli, guys.
Yeah, we have absolutely.
Right now.
Blow it
up.
Blow up the chat right now, man.
The way I like to see it is, We are family. We're all a family here, and family argue sometimes. That's absolutely fine. We argue, but at the end of the day, we all grow. Support the same side. It's all love. So don't even stress it. Don't even stress that. Don't worry.
Good.
But
the hatchet has been buried. Let's have some espresso.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Where you can find us here while everybody.
Where you can find us? Well, obviously, Napoli Club Toronto. On Twitter, we are at Napoli_Toronto. On Instagram, it's just our name, Napoli Club Toronto. And we also have a TikTok page. If anyone has TikTok, just go ahead. We post videos there almost daily. It's also Napoli Club Toronto. Our Facebook page.
I can't wait to follow that.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. Our Facebook page, it's still in the works a little bit. We don't really use Facebook that much. But if you do want to follow our Facebook page for everyone on Facebook right now, it's Napoli Club Toronto. It's all consistent. I just want to say a shout out quickly to my club, to my vice president, Sereno, my social media manager, Danny Del Grosso, and to my PR manager, if he's watching right now, Gianluca Saggese. These guys are
fantastic team leaders.
Oh, yeah. We have a structure. And I highly suggest right now.
They got a board. Yeah.
We do. Yeah, we do. We have meetings and everything. I highly suggest everyone this week follow Napoli Club Toronto, because on Friday there is going to be big news coming out on all our social media platforms. Please go and check that out. Also, check out the CNC Canada Discord. It's going to be a pleasure working alongside Raf.
Hey, also, I really, really quick. The idea that you have for when this pandemic is over, for getting everybody together in a major city every year, I love it. I absolutely love it. We're on board. Far From Vesuvius is on board, and we can't wait. We can't wait until it happens. We can't
Don't even worry about it. We've been planning it already for a couple of weeks now. When everything starts to work out, we're going to be up and running with it. So I appreciate the support. And when the things start turning around, you'll get that notification right away.
Perfect, baby. Perfect.
All right. Guys, that is all the time. Thank you to everybody in the chat. You heard it here from Carmine. We got Rafa Rispo always in the house. Thank you so much again, Carmine. Shout out to everybody in Canada.
Thanks, guys.
Our neighbors in the north hearing. The Viscus of Vesuvius always blessing with his presence. My name is Ralph Bizarro from the Kachinopoli Club. Thank you to everybody at Kachinopoli Club. Definitely on board. You know it. We know it. Everybody loves it. Miami in the house. I want to try to get some last-minute things in here, guys. Thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure. Be sure to hit like, subscribe, share. Get in on the action, guys. This is your space. We love you all. Fortunopoli Sempre, guys.
Sempre. 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 Sempre.